Okay, it's Friday. That means it's time for a movie retrospective. Mm. Kind of a wild card today. This one's a little bit, yeah. I want to say it's a little bit newer, but it came out in 2001, which actually is a really long time ago.
It's a cool flick, though. I liked this movie.
It was, yeah, this is one, it came up on Shudder. We're giving that Shudder subscription a workout, aren't we?
Yeah, it's quite worth it, actually. Shudder's a good service. I like it better than Netflix, actually.
Like I said, they're not paying me $5 a month. They have a shit ton of good movies on there.
I like it better than Netflix.
Yeah, so I saw this movie, which is the 2001 film Frailty, and I said, oh, I remember that being really good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's watch that one, because I figured Tom would probably like it. I didn't remember if you had seen it or not.
Yeah, I saw it. You know, once I started watching it, I was, oh, yeah, I remember this movie. Yeah, and then
You saw it, you started to remember. It's like, it's weird because it's a very strange movie. I don't know if I'd call it exactly a pure horror movie. It's kind of more like a thriller mystery type thing. But it has like a lot of horror elements in it. There's not a lot of gore or anything, but
yeah, and it ends up being basically kind of like a supernatural thriller.
Yeah.
Or a psychic thriller or something in the
way. Like I said, it's a really weird movie. Now, this is actually
I can make a lot of connections with this movies and other movies that would blow your mind too. I like this movie because it is not what it seems to be on the surface.
Yeah, and it's really kind of like it goes in a direction that a lot of movies don't go in.
Right. It seems to be kind of like sacrilegious and kind of like against like the Christian religion at first. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, wait a minute, is this a Christian fundamentalist movie?
Yeah.
And I think some people are left with that impression. But I had a different interpretation of it.
Yeah,
it can go in a bunch of different ways once you really look into it.
Which is why I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. To me, it's about psychic abilities.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, this was actually, interestingly enough, this was the first feature film that was directed by the famous actor Bill Paxton, who was obviously in Aliens.
Yeah, he's dead now.
He died early last year. He had a stroke when he was having a heart surgery.
Yeah, died young.
Yeah, he was actually quite young.
All right.
But this was his first, and actually I always forget about this. This was his first movie that he directed, but I totally forgot that he directed the video for Fish Heads by Barnes & Barnes
from the
early 1980s. You don't remember fucking Fish Heads?
I thought
everybody knew Fish Heads.
No, never.
Yeah, he directed that. He directed a lot of music videos and stuff like that, but this was actually his first movie. It came out in 2001. Actually had some big stars
in it. You mean the song Fish Heads?
Yeah. And I keep forgetting. It's like, that's because that's just so random. But yeah, so this was his first movie. A lot of big stars in it, actually. Matthew McConaughey is in it. Powers Booth is in it. And it's kind of like, it kind of comes at you one way, and then it's got like a couple, and I'm going to say right now, we're going to have to spoil the twists, because there's more than one.
Yeah.
There's kind of two big twists in it. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to have to spoil them. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to talk about this movie.
is there a place where they can watch this?
Like I said, it's on Shudder.
I don't know
if you can watch it for free.
If you haven't seen this movie and you're like a regular,
then turn this off and go
you
watch
probably
it.
Probably want to see this. You probably want to,
because we are totally going to
watch the movie first.
Yeah.
So go ahead and like shut it down, because we're gonna spoil it. And really, I don't think the movie is as enjoyable. Once you know which direction it's going to go in.
Yeah, it's kind of better if you don't know where it's going.
All right. Well, you know what we can do the setup. It's about a boy telling the story about his father who's hearing the voice of God, and God is telling him to go out and kill these people. And the reason why he's killing them is because God says that they're actually demons that have been trying to come through this other dimension. And the boy has a little brother. And the little brother, he's like, yeah, this is what Dad says we have to do. And he's like telling the little brother, man, Dad's nuts. You know, these people aren't demons. You know, they're just innocent people, and he's killing them.
And
his dad's laying hands on them, and he can see their sins and shit. And that's just the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, so like,
so that's the setup. That's a good time to, like, if you don't need, that's all I can spoil of this flick.
Yeah, after
if this sounds like this should be a movie that you'd like to see, go ahead and watch it now and turn it off.
Yeah, because like I said, we're going to...
Right, I think that's a good setup, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's good enough.
I mean, basically, like I said, it almost starts like a serial killer police procedural type of thing. Because at the beginning, you're seeing Matthew McConaughey, who is allegedly the grown-up brother of the so-called God's Hand serial killer, who the FBI has been looking for. So he pulls up outside Powers Booth's office, and Powers Booth is the, you know, the FBI agent's been working on the case, and he's basically like, oh, guess what? My brother is the God's Hand killer. I stole an ambulance, and his body is outside in the ambulance right now because I told him I'd bury him in this specific place, and all this other stuff. So most of the story is told in flashback form.
Right.
Matthew McConaughey.
The guy's telling the feds about how he grew up and what his dad did.
Allegedly the older brother, Fenton. And he's talking about how his younger brother, Adam, is the God's Hand killer. And he's talked about how it started. And he said, you know, we had our mother died. And then Dad, who is never given a name, he's just called Dad through the whole, who's actually played by Bill Paxton, who also directed the movie, that they had like a pretty normal life. And then all of a sudden, one day, Dad says, oh, by the way, God came to me in a vision or a dream or whatever and said that we have to be demon slayers now and that we're going to know, like, where all the magical tools are and shit like that. Like, God will tell us and he'll give us a list of, like, all these people that are demons and we have to go kill them.
Right.
And like I said, apparently the older brother is like, nah, I'm not doing that. But then the little kid is just like, you mean we're, like, superheroes? And the dad's like, yeah. And he's like, all right, I'm on board.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, the older brother's like, man, there's cameras in there. And he goes, don't worry, God will protect us. And it was like, man, we're going to kill this guy out in public? Don't worry, no one will see. God said it's okay. You know?
Yeah, we're just going to kidnap this guy just ridiculous. In a parking lot like a hardware store or something, like in the middle of the day or some shit. No, don't worry about it.
God says he's got it covered.
They got away with it.
Yeah.
So the creepy thing, so you think that it's going that way, which again is like creepy enough because you think, okay, well, the dad's lost his marbles. Obviously, the older kid is the only one that sees reason out of this whole thing, and it's really scary, and it's like this kind of child abuse kind of thing happening, because it's like, he's axing people to death in front of these two little kids, and
saying, choking some of them.
It's all right, it's not a person, it's a demon, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and he's putting hands on him, goes, did you see that? And I think the little boy, the little boy said
I can't
see. He says, you saw what he did? And he goes, yeah, I saw it.
But the older one said,
little boy's like,
oh
man, you're tripping,
that he doesn't see it. So there's like this horrible conflict because, I mean, the kids, they're not old. Like the older kid, Fenton, I think he's supposed to be
about 10,
11, 11? 12, something like that. And then the younger brother, Adam, is supposed to be like 9, the one that's totally on board.
Yeah,
so these are like little kids.
Yeah, he claims to have seen it. He also claims to have seen angels, didn't he?
Yeah.
And heard what God said on a couple of times, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But is it, well, Bill Paxton's character, Dad, he actually sees the angel at one point. Like, he's a mechanic and he's like working on a car. And then all of a sudden he sees, that's pretty much the only time you get to see like a kind of supernaturally looking vision. Like this big angel comes down and he looks all pissed off. And then suddenly he's like, oh, that's the list. I got to start writing all these people's names down.
Yeah.
And so he proceeds.
He was getting lists out of the phone book, too. What did he was going through the phone book.
Well, he was going through the phone book to find out where they lived.
Where they lived, okay. But the angel gave him the list.
God didn't tell him the addresses, I guess.
But the angel gave him the names.
The angel gave him the names.
Okay.
Yeah, because as soon as he came out from under the car after seeing the angel, he pulled out his little pad and started writing all the names down.
Yeah.
But then, so like I said, he was looking at the phone book. So I guess he was looking for the address because, like I said, he just got the names, not the addresses. So you think that it's going along this particular route, that it's like, okay, here's these two little kids, their dad just suddenly flipped out and decided that God told him that he should kill all these people and all this other shit. But then, now, which I can't remember, it's like we just watched it a couple nights ago.
What was that?
Now, the twist that comes first, so like I said, this whole thing is being told pretty much in flash. It's like two long flashbacks and in between.
The first twist, he tells the little brother, the older brother told the little brother that he was going to go to the police or something and rat on Dad.
Which he did.
But then Dad said, he talked his way out of it with the police. And Dad put the kid in the basement.
Yeah, that's right.
And told
until
him that,
he had a revelation.
Until he'd have a revelation, until God would show him.
Yeah.
But it never happened. He kept him down there for a long time, too.
Yeah, they didn't say. I think it was like a week, maybe 2 weeks. Like, he didn't starve to death, but
close. You don't think he was even giving him water, was he?
Well, the little brother was
sneaking him water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't sneaking. The dad said he could
take
it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really remember that part real clearly.
Yeah, he was like
pouring. But he never has the vision. And the dad said, I'm not going to believe what the angel told me. Remember that?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. He just kind of gave him a second chance, even though he never had the vision. Well, they were on a mission to kill this biker who'd evidently done something bad. He was touching him, you know, and they'd captured him and brought him back to the little slaughterhouse that they would kill him, you know, where they would kill him. And he was laying hands on him and seeing what he had done. And he goes, "You didn't know anybody saw that, you know, did you?" You know, and the little brother, he was all in on it. He was like, "Yeah, I see it," that kind of deal. And he gave the axe to the older son, the one who didn't have the vision, and he told him to kill the guy.
Yeah, he said, like, because the older kid lied to get out of the basement. He said, right. God talked to me.
That's right.
And the dad is just like, okay, well, prove it.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So kill the next demon.
So the older son was getting ready to cock back like that to cut the dude's head off, and instead he swung the axe around and hit his dad right in the chest with it and killed his dad. Right in front of the little brother. And that was the first twist.
Yeah. Here's what I found interesting about that whole segment of the plot.
Yeah.
Was that, here's the thing. God apparently, allegedly, tells dad, hey, here's a list of people who are for real demons. You need to go and chop them up with an axe and bury them in the garden. And, you know, it'll be fine. I'll fix it so you don't get caught. But then apparently the angel tells him that Fenton, the older kid, is also a demon.
Yeah, he's also a demon, yeah.
But the dad doesn't want to believe that.
No.
Even though, for real, he's like, oh, kill all these people? Gotcha.
Right.
But then the angel says, oh.
Well, I don't remember if it actually expressly said that he was a demon. I think they said that maybe his name wasn't written in the book or something like that. I thought it was something
I thought
more like
that they implied that Fenton was a demon.
Okay.
Well, and because I think the reason that dad didn't say that was because he didn't want to make the kid feel bad.
Right.
Because he was still kind of giving him a chance because it was his son.
Well, make a long story short, the grown kid that is now telling the feds the story of what happened to his dad and everything, he's telling this federal agent this over near where he supposedly buried all these people.
The Rose Garden.
Right. And, turns out that the grown son is not the older son. He's actually the younger son.
The believer.
The believer.
Yeah.
And he killed his brother.
Yes.
And had him buried down through there. And the reason why he's telling him that is because this grown younger little brother knows the evil that the federal agent did. He grabbed him like that, and you get to see that the federal agent murdered his mom.
Yeah, because it should be noted...
Nobody else knew it.
Up to this point, the audience has not been privy
to these
visions.
Right.
All you see when dad touches the person or when Adam touches the person or whatever, all you see is them like going, oh, and like acting like they're shocked or like electrified or something.
Somehow
you don't see anything until the end.
And when he touches the federal agent somehow knows that he saw it.
Yeah.
And he came out and told you, he said, you killed your mom, blah, blah, blah. And he said, how did you know that? So he confirms to you, to the audience,
that
this vision is
correct.
True. Right. So he kills that guy. And it's revealed later on that the grown kid, you know, what his real job is he's a sheriff. He's a local sheriff. And he's got a wife and a kid, and he's doing God's work.
Chopping people up with
he's a cop by day, and by night he's hunting these evil people that had escaped justice. So you're left wondering, well, damn, is this a Christian fundamentalist kind of an apocalyptic movie? What was that? But the more I thought about it, actually, it's a movie a lot like Unbreakable in a way. This character is a lot like the character that Bruce Willis was. He could kind of detect. You see, a lot of times in a lot of movies, and you know, I've had a near-death experience. I've seen, I've had out-of-body experiences. I've had one poltergeist incident that Jenny wrote a book about. A lot of times, human psychic abilities are kind of perceived through a prism of religion. So, had this story been taking place somewhere in another country, maybe it would have been Islam, you know what I mean? Or the story would have been told through a prism of maybe Buddhism. Or if this story were taking place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, maybe these would have been Jedi hunting down Sith, you know? So, I don't really see it as a religious movie per se. I thought more of a psychic movie. But because these guys were Southerners, you know, it had a veneer of Southern Baptist.
Yeah, kind of it was apocalyptic. Set in Texas.
Texas, right, yeah. And to me, I, you know, coming from Mississippi, I thought that shit was cool as fuck. I liked it.
The interesting thing about this movie, and like I said, you could be forgiven for the big twist at the end, because not only, it should be noted, not only did Matthew McConaughey actually apparently see this FBI agent killing his mother, like with his psychic abilities, yeah, or God showed him,
or God
showed
him the same way, right, yeah.
And apparently that was true, because the, you know, Wesley Doyle, who Powers Booth played, the FBI agent, he said, how did you know that? So obviously that's a true thing. And it should be noted afterward that they knew, like the FBI knew that Wesley Doyle was dead. They found his ID and it had blood all over it and everything. I don't think they ever found where he was buried or anything. But when Matthew McConaughey was leaving the FBI thing, because they were like, oh, well, we got him on camera. He was in here for like hours and hours. And guess what? When they watched the tape back, the tape was all fucked up, like
over his face and shit like that.
And then when the FBI like goes back to the town and it turns out that Matthew McConaughey is actually the town sheriff.
Yeah.
And he walks out and you're like, oh my God, he's the sheriff. Yeah. And the FBI agent doesn't recognize him, even though he looked at him for hours and hours.
So
like,
they were being protected.
So they were being protected.
They couldn't be photographed and they their identities were being clouded. People's memories were being clouded.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could interpret it as, hey, is God protecting them? Or is it the force protecting
God
them?
God said to go ask
them. Or is it mental domination? You know what I mean? Because, you know, some people that have, you know, claimed to have exhibit some psychic abilities, they seem to kind of, they're able to do them when they kind of have, I guess you could say, a selfless quality to them, where they can say, oh, it's not me doing it, it's God doing it. It's not me doing it, it's the demon doing it, or it's the poltergeist doing it. You know what I mean? And that, so in this particular case, explanation is that it's God. You know?
Right.
If these weren't Southern Baptists, maybe, say if they were some kind of a New Age cult that was doing this, they would say, well, it was the universe. You know? The universe is doing it. Or the force is working through us. It was like that.
When we were talking about it
earlier, I thought it was a cool flick.
When we were talking about it earlier, I thought to myself, you know, this could be, even if there was no, I mean, obviously there's a supernatural element to it, which you find out at the end. Because like I said, the first three quarters of the movie, you just think this guy's a nut job and, you know, he's just hacking up these innocent people. But then you find out that these people were actually bad people or had done bad things in the past. Like they had murdered people.
Murdered children.
Or they were child molesters or whatever.
I think they were murdering those children, not just molesting them.
Yeah, so it's almost kind of like, I almost felt like it was, they were kind of going for maybe, it was like Dexter.
Yeah.
But super, like if Dexter didn't have to do all the research, like if he just knew, because he had psychic power.
You could also say like a superhero or a Jedi. I mean, you know, the Jedi cut Sith in half and during lightsaber fights and shit like that.
Like I said, it's a very strange movie because it could be, because it has that veneer, like you said, of fundamentalist Christianity.
And in a way, that veneer kind of exposes your own prejudiced against Christianity, that they're just wackos, and you're no, he's actually doing this shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Oh, this shit's really happening. You know what I mean? So that kind of adds to the weirdness of this movie.
Well, that's what's so weird about it. It's like when you think about, like I said, when you watch it, like, and I'm not saying anything. Like, I really like this movie. I thought it was really well directed, really well acted. It's actually quite creepy.
Yeah,
and
it's
quite
creepy.
Disturbing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it's disturbing is because one, it has the courage of its convictions.
Yeah.
It sets up a thing where it's like, here's a guy who was a serial, he's axing people to death, and supposedly these are innocent people, but then you find out
that no,
that no, they're not innocent people, and he was right. Like, he was having visions that these were bad people, and he was killing them, and then he was being protected by God or whatever force it was. So it actually did have the courage to go there.
And what's funny is that other tales kind of can do the same thing, and then you accept them like, oh, okay, no problem. Like, what if this was like the Shadow, you know, the superhero, the Shadow, doing things kind of like that, sensing evil, being able to know what the evil that men do and going after them, you know? Now, he didn't chop their heads off in a basement. He ended up shooting them or arresting them if he had to, depend, you know, but it's that same situation. What if The story would probably be easier for an American audience, or more palatable, or easier to accept if these were portrayed as some kind of weird, you know, Eastern wushu, you know, Buddhist monks that are doing this through some kind of meditation. You know what I mean? And then people right. are like, oh, yeah, it's like Kung Fu powers. You know, but if you say, no, these are Southern Baptists doing it, you know, that's one step away from them, you know. Snake handlers and, you know, drinking poison, you know. That's what I mean, if they were doing that? You
that
know?
Was kind of an interesting thing because, yeah. like I said, I brought up Dexter before. Like, Dexter, he's an anti-hero, I guess, but you do kind of root for him. He is a very yeah. sympathetic character. Yeah. Yes, he's a serial killer, but he kills
other serial killers.
Right. So you're kind of down with that.
Yeah.
But because it doesn't have any trappings of religion on top of it,
yeah, it's easier.
I feel like it was, yeah, it was like easier to swallow because right. he was just a regular guy who happened to be a serial killer, yeah. and he was just going after
modern
bad people.
Secular Americans are so used, to, especially of our generation, are so used to being lied to by televangelists and these bullshit Christian cults that are around here. You know what I mean? We just kind of expect them just to be hacks and to be fakes, you right. know, and nuts. You know,
and he kind of used that,
yeah.
You know, to the, you know, to kind of subvert. It's yeah. kind of a subversive movie,
yeah. Yeah, it in takes that what way. You it takes the shit that takes shit you don't believe in and go. it does play on your prejudices. It does.
Yeah, it does. That's it does. What makes it so interesting. Yeah. And I think, and I mean, honestly. I don't really think that had... It really didn't do much business when it came out. It was generally pretty positively reviewed when it first came out. Particularly Roger Ebert actually really liked it, and he gave it, like, a really glowing review. In the years since, it seems like it's a little bit underappreciated, but it does feel like it's... I mean, it's come up on, like, a really lot of, like, best horror movies of that decade yeah. List that I've seen. Like, it's kind of an underrated gem type of thing. And like I said, it's almost like... I've never seen another movie like that. I think the only one that I can think of that's kind of similar was actually not a horror movie, but it was that one, The Rapture, that had Mimi Rogers in it.
Yeah, I think that's one I was thinking of. I was thinking
that's kind of similar.
Because I was thinking there was one that came out a few years before this one.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that one, too, and it's like an apocalyptic
yeah,
tale.
Yeah, it's probably
and
that.
And you think it's all bullshit, but it turns out the apocalypse was happening.
That it was real.
Yeah.
But she, like I said, it's kind of a similar theme yeah. to it. It kind of gives me that same kind of vibe. And also, I think the only criticism a lot of people had was that they didn't really like the switcheroo. It seemed like it, not so much, you know, oh, demons are real, but the switcheroo between Adam and Fenton.
Yeah.
Because they thought, oh, well, it seems a little too Usual Suspects type of thing. Which, it almost okay, seems I can like, buy that, but...
This movie sometimes felt kind of like what M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
That's what I just said, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. like that, yeah. that, well, not, you know, but I
not
was just going to say
but
it's kind of like has a...
Similar.
Shyamalan
but, you know, better.
Kind of twist.
Better.
I actually better. Like this better than most
even
of
though
the
I liked Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And I liked... the one that the kids could see ghosts. What was the name of that one?
Sixth Sense.
That yeah.
was actually a good movie, yeah.
It was a pretty good one.
Now, yeah. I've heard that some of his... Because he had a run of kind of questionable ones there for yeah. a while. Like, The Village was all right. I didn't see Lady in the Water because I just heard it was atrocious, so I didn't bother. But I heard that his newer one, Split, was actually pretty good, and so I actually have to see that. And we should see that because
yeah,
that new one, Glass, that's coming
yeah,
out,
yeah,
has,
yeah.
like, crossed
that's
going to
be awesome. I'm
that's
looking...
kind of like an Unbreakable...
Sequel to, yeah.
But it has the guy from Split that was in it, like the Split personality.
I thought Unbreakable was a missed opportunity. That should have come out, a series like that should have come out before the, you know, before all these Marvel series
yeah.
made it big. You know what I mean? Like, he should have kept going with that. I think that would have worked.
He should have, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I said, I feel like M. Night, you know, we're kind of getting off the topic.
Yeah,
okay.
we're off the topic.
That's
off
okay.
Top,
but
top.
I'm just saying, I kind of feel like M. Night, like, he had one really good idea, like Sixth Sense. That was, like, a good movie. And then it seemed like, oh, well, that's my shtick. I have to do,
so
like, a big twist ending.
Keep doing that and keep doing
and then
that.
When they keep
right.
doing that, they just get more and more ludicrous right. and you just can't really yeah. buy it. The twist in this one, I mean, and I'm not talking about, like I said, the demons are real twist, because that's pretty crazy, but I'm just the twist between like the two characters being switched. It wasn't really all that ludicrous. You know, the guy just came in and he's like, "I'm my brother," and
yeah.
but really it was just, you know, opposite identity. So, you know, I didn't think it was that egregious, so it didn't bother me all that much.
No,
but,
it was plausible.
But like I said, yeah, it's just interesting because this movie is just like it's really thought-provoking. Like
yeah.
it will bring up a lot of And I think it's interesting how you said that, yeah, it kind of brings out people's prejudices maybe against that type of thing, because you're so used to, here's some crazy fundamentalist hacking people up and told them God told them to do it, this time he did, evidently, or he perceived
it. and then the movie kind of ends where they show the killer come in on surveillance tape, and wherever his face is, there's a damn line of static. You can't see, and they were like, well, what are we gonna do with this? So it turns out, they were protected, but it just leaves it open. Were they protected by God? Were they protected by some kind of an internal psychic force or something or that he was emitting? Were they protected by some kind of a universal force that he was channeling like a Jedi? You don't know.
Were they protected by a demon that was pretending to be God?
Yeah, you don't know. I don't think it was a demon.
Well, it could have been, because they left it ambiguous.
Because when he grabbed the federal agent, you actually saw the vision. And the federal agent said, how did you know about that? So he confirmed that it was a true vision.
Yeah.
They were evildoers that they were killing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would think if it was a demon, they'd be, you know, they'd be killing good
people. They'd be like, hey, killed your mom, high five.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Doing the demon's work.
Some kind of a universal force was working through them. They kind of saw it as God. In a Southern Baptist way, you know, was making them go out and destroy these evil people because God wanted it. And, you know, the kid was like, why are we doing this? He's just, you can't question it. There's a plan. God says we have to do it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about anything. We can't get caught.
Yeah.
He's protecting us.
So that's what I mean. It was it's kind of.
So who are you to question some shit like that? They can't even get you on video. I'd be like, okay, all right. I guess this is how it rolls.
Like I said, it's a pretty disturbing movie, and it's like kind of, it's pretty thought-provoking. And like I said, I haven't really seen another one like this. And like I said, it's interesting how, I mean, this was Bill Paxton's big debut, and it has the, like I said, it has the courage of its conviction. They're like,
you don't like this? Fuck you.
It takes the story, and it takes it to its logical conclusion, and it's just like, you know, and if you don't like it, that's
it's
too bad.
It's just like, it's one of those stories like, well, what if?
Yeah.
What if that shit was true?
Yeah, you know? That's exactly what it was. It's a what if exercise. What if? Like, what if every serial killer that said, "Oh, God told me to kill these people"?
What if that was actually?
What if that was actually happening?
Although there would have been a difference. You know why? Because these guys couldn't be caught on film. No evidence was being left behind.
Yeah.
You couldn't even look at them and recognize them if you were an investigator.
Yeah.
So other serial killers didn't have that advantage, which meant that they were not protected by this force of this God.
I kind of wonder though, so this is just one dinky little town in Texas where this one guy doing this. He's got a big list of demons, man. There must be
more of them.
That's what I was just gonna say. So that implies that God's picking like one person
in each
little town, and he's like, hey, and here's another list of people to.
And here's another
off.
Thing. It was his dad, not his older brother, but then the younger brother.
Yeah.
But that goes along with the Luke Skywalker thing of, well, it runs in my family.
Yeah.
And that's some weird shit.
I kind of like your idea about how they have the psychic powers. Like, it doesn't even have to have anything to do with God.
I think it's like the Force.
Yeah, they just interpret it
interpret it through their own cultural filter. That's what I thought when I saw it.
That's actually, that's like kind of a cool reading.
Because that would be the logical way. Like, if this is going on around the Earth, right? It's not going to be Baptists in Thailand.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be Buddhists in Thailand doing it. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe in another place, you know, in China, you know, where it's all atheists, they got guys doing it, but it's not religion, it's atheists that are doing it.
Right.
And they're doing it, they're thinking, they may have a different interpretation of this.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, well, I'm being driven this through some kind of a quantum force that's working through me, and it's something extra dimensional. You know, they might have a totally different interpretation of what's happening to them, you know?
But yeah, it's an interesting movie for sure. And like I said, you know, I know if you haven't seen it, well, sorry, we just spoiled the whole fucking movie, but we did warn you.
Yeah, we warned you. We gave you fair warning.
But yeah, it's on, it might be on some other services, I'm sure it probably is, but it's on Shudder at the moment, and it's really kind of an underrated and forgotten sort of movie.
If you're not paying that $5 a month for that Shudder service, you're kind of missing out. $5 a fucking month. And they're not paying us. They're not paying.
Well, I just, like I said, $5 would be too much if they didn't have anything worth watching.
Everything
that's
on there is pretty cool.
But they have a lot of shit on there with, well, like, they have, there's a shit ton of classics and stuff like that. And I was like I said, I was scrolling through and I came across this one. I said,
they got an Xbox apps. We watch it through my Xbox. There's an Xbox app for it.
And sometimes I watch it on my laptop.
Right, yeah.
So you can kind of watch it anywhere. Yeah. But yeah, so it's on Shudder and check it out. Frailty from 2001. And like I said, it's Bill Paxton's directorial debut, at least for a feature film, because he passed away early last year. So you should probably check it out. And that will do it for our latest movie retrospective. Remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe. It really helps us out a lot. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to give a one-time donation. Also, remember that our movie reviews come out every Friday, our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, and our 13 o'clock matinee show, which is the three new movies that we watched in the theater every week, come out every Sunday. So check those out as well. We will see you next time. Bye.